Well, tonight's message, I just want to forewarn you, for those of you that are here, those of you that are watching, if you happen to be one of these true blue diehard faith and confession people, you're probably not going to get 20 minutes into this sermon and you're going to be ready to turn your computer off or punch your screen or whatever. Because this is going to be tonight one of the most unfaith and confession sermons some people have ever heard in their life. And yet, I'm going to show you from Scripture the other side to this faith and confession message. You see, one of the things that has happened over the years, the genuine, scriptural, it's real, straight from the Bible, faith and confession message is, it's there, it's in the Word. But you've had people that grab a hold of some of these things and they've taught messages that have so misled the body of Christ. And because of that, you've got a severe imbalance in the lives of many Christians and in many churches and many ministries because of this the way that the faith and confession message has been taught. You'll understand here in just a few minutes. I want you to open first in Genesis chapter 41. Because if you remember, back in the Old Testament, God wanted people to trust Him, did He not? And He talks about how Abraham trusted God, had faith in God, what God told him to do, and God counted it unto him as righteousness. So there was an element of faith in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, God made promises of protection and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, it's all through there. And sometimes we lose sight, I think, of the fact that God ministered to the people in the Old Testament as much as He could, just short of them being born again. In other words, we're born again, so God is obviously able to minister to us, through us, in us, in a way that He couldn't minister to them back then, because we are born again with His life. But He did everything He could for them in the Old Testament, the same way He'll do for us in the New Testament, the difference being they weren't born again, so He couldn't approach them and minister to them from that perspective. Now, in Genesis chapter 41, here's what's happened. You all know the story of Joseph. How that Joseph had these dreams. And in these dreams, God was showing Joseph how that Joseph was going to end up in a position of authority and in a position of leadership. His brothers didn't like those dreams because it implied that Joseph, being the youngest son until Benjamin came along, would end up being in authority over them. Well, they sold Joseph into captivity. Joseph ends up in Egypt. He ends up with Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. Joseph said no, so she lied about him. Potiphar had him put in prison. So Joseph is in prison. While he's there, the chief baker and the chief butler, they were in prison as well because they had done some things made Pharaoh mad. Well, they each had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And according to Scripture, the chief baker was going to be delivered from prison, but the chief butler was going to die, be executed. So those dreams, Joseph interpreted those, and the interpretations came to pass. Well, some time goes by, and then Pharaoh has a dream. And it's about these cows and this corn, and he's totally confused by this. Well, the chief butler went to Pharaoh, and he said, "Hey, listen, I remember this guy when I was in prison. And I was supposed to tell you about him when I got out, but I messed up and I forgot. I had this dream in prison, and he interpreted it. And the dream, the interpretation that he gave was right on. Everything that he prophesied or interpreted happened." And so Pharaoh called for Joseph to come to him, and he explained the dream to Joseph. And then Joseph begins to give Pharaoh the interpretation. We pick this story up in Genesis 41, verse 25. "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears, the kine are cows and the ears of corn, the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine, or cows, that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears of corn, blasted with the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, to take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Okay, now what do we have here? Well, he gives this interpretation, and because of it, Pharaoh promotes Joseph to be that man to go around and collect it and so forth. And Joseph actually is promoted to the place of being, if it were the United States, Joseph would be vice president, number two in charge. Here's what's interesting in this. God revealed what was coming. Then he worked through Joseph to give a plan on how to deal with it. But nowhere in here did he give any word, any instruction, any plan, anything to do to stop the famine. You see this? Now he gave Joseph the plan to get through the famine, not just for Joseph, but you know, for everybody there. And we know that it eventually impacted Joseph's family. They moved into Egypt and there was a reunion and all this other. But God didn't give any plan at all to get out of the 7 years of harsh, harsh famine. That means Joseph and everybody else with Pharaoh, the whole bunch of them, went through it. Now today, the faith and confession message is, confess in the name of Jesus, there will be no famine. Right? Some be afraid to answer this. You guys know what I'm talking about. We'd be taught today, confess in Jesus' name, take authority over that famine, bless God. And Joseph said, now let me paraphrase Joseph's words. I don't care what you do, the famine is coming. So you better prepare for it. And you better prepare for it using God's plan that He gives you. See this? Now a guy like Joseph, that had these incredible dreams about leadership and all this other, God's plan for his life, there had never been a dream that God gave him that told him, you are going to go through a tough time. You're going to go through a famine. He just said, you're going to end up in a position of leadership. So now here he is, and he's giving the interpretation of the dream to Pharaoh. And he says, you got 7 good years. And you better take advantage of it, because after that, you've got 7 years of some of the harshest famine you have ever seen or ever heard of in your life. It is going to be bad. And so you better impose a 20% tax on the people and store up food for 7 years. So that we make it through this famine. But not one word from God about stopping the famine. Today, we would call that a negative confession, would we not? Well, where's your faith, Brother Martin? Don't you know you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you? In the name of Jesus, everything bows and confesses. And that's what we are taught. Let's look at something else here. Turn to Exodus chapter 13. Well, you know the story. Moses has gone before Pharaoh. And he says, let my people go. Finally, Pharaoh does, after all the plagues and the death of the firstborn and so forth. So the people are coming out of Egypt. And as they're coming out of Egypt, I mean, we're talking like the day that they're released out of Egypt, God begins directing them. And if you look here in verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Okay, what do we have here? We have God leading the people. They're free. Praise God, we've been set free after all these years. God's in heaven, and He's saying, you know, I could take them the short way, but if I do, they're going to encounter the Philistines, and the Philistines are a warlike people. And if I do that, the people might get scared and worried and all this other and return to Egypt. So, here's what I'm going to do. Now remember, God knows the beginning from the end, right? I'll take them by way of the Red Sea. Now, we know what happened at the Red Sea, do we not? They set up camp, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, but Pharaoh changes his mind. He gets his army together and says, let's get them. And off they go. They chase after the people of Israel. So here's Israel. Red Sea on one side, the charging army on the other side, and they start blaming Moses for where they are. It wasn't Moses' idea to lead them that direction. God said, I'm going to lead them this direction because if I take them the short way, they'll encounter the Philistines. All right? Now, what happened after they crossed the Red Sea? Remember they encountered battles as soon as they got? Okay, now, let's think. If God could give them the victory after they crossed the Red Sea, why didn't He just take them by way of the Philistines? Give them victory over there. Think about it. Why didn't He? God knew they couldn't handle a Philistine battle. Now let that sink in. Even with Him on their side, they couldn't handle a Philistine battle. Think about this. I don't know why God isn't doing such and such. I don't know why God won't let me go do. I don't know why God isn't. I don't. It's because He knows if He lets you do that and He leads you in that direction, there's going to be a Philistine army waiting for you. And He knows you can't handle it. But I can do all things through Christ. He was on Israel's side. Cloud by day, fire by night. And He still knew. In spite of that, in spite of the miraculous demonstration of His presence through the cloud and the fire, He knew they'd tuck tail and run when the Philistines showed up. He knew that. So I'll say it like this, like what people today would say, the lesser of two evils, take them by way of the Red Sea, because you're going to get complained about no matter what you do. God knew what was coming. He knew they were going to fuss. So He takes them by the Red Sea. You see, faith today says you can handle anything. Just confess your way through it. And God is saying, yeah, but you know what? Even if I give you a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, you're still not going to be able to handle this one because you're not ready. That's a negative confession, God. You need to watch your confession. Don't you know what your word says? God says, yeah, I know what my word says. I gave it to you. The problem is you're not living enough by it to have it manifest its power in your life. That's why I've got to take you by the Red Sea. And so He performed a miracle there, did He not? Now, eventually, over time, they were ready to handle the Philistines. And you can read about the encounters with the Philistines later on. Remember Goliath? What was he? Philistine. The point I'm trying to make is, the faith and confession message today says it doesn't matter what happens, you can take care of it, you can handle it, you can do it. And God's in heaven saying, look, the New Testament parallel of the cloud by day and the fire by night would be Jesus in your life. The cloud by day and the fire by night's moved on the inside instead of on the outside. But in spite of that, you're still not ready for the Philistines. You're ready for the Red Sea. You're going to complain about it, but you're ready for it. And we know that they had a great victory. The thing is, those people didn't do anything for that victory at the Red Sea. Remember that? They just bellyached until Moses held his staff up, waters parted, they walk across on dry land, turn around, and watch the waters cave in on Pharaoh and his army. They didn't do anything for it. They rejoiced on the other side, and they gave God praise. They gave Him the glory for it. Hallelujah for that. But do you see what I'm saying? How that God in heaven looks down and He realizes what we can and cannot do where we are right now. And so there are times in our own lives where He's going to say, you don't need to go by way of the Philistines. You need to go by way of the Red Sea. And when I lead you by the way of the Red Sea, you're going to think I put you in an impossible situation. You're going to complain about it anyway. Because you're going to open your eyes and everything around you says defeat. And then you're going to be mad at me. And people around you, the faith and confession people, are going to tell you that couldn't have been God's will because He wouldn't put you in a position where there's nothing but defeat. That's not how God works in the life of a believer, if you have faith. All right, let's move on here. See some more. Look in Acts chapter 16. See, there's a balance to this whole faith message that a lot of people just don't understand. And by the time this message is over, I'm going to show you some things out of God's Word that if you'll receive this, it's going to help you. But if you've got these blinders on from the imbalanced faith and confession message, man, this is going to rattle your chain. Look here in Acts chapter 16. Well, Paul's had his Damascus Road experience. And he's the light has been shown upon him, and now he's been blinded, and he's in ministry now, and he's serving God, and he's moving around preaching the gospel, so on and so forth. And we pick this story up years into his ministry. All right? In chapter 16, verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were tempted to come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So what do? They head off to Macedonia. Okay, what's in Macedonia? Philippi, the Philippian church, later on. What we're reading here is where the Philippian church got started. So they go into Macedonia, the region of Philippi, and they're preaching. Verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days." See this? It's not just a one-time thing. This is going on day after day after day. "But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now, the faith and confession people are going to tell you they never heard from God.
Let me tell you something, brother. God will never give you an instruction to go do something that's going to end up with you being beaten and in prison. That's not God. If you're really hearing God, then you need to learn not every dream is of God. Where did you eat last night? Taco Bell? They had a dream. They knew it was God. They obeyed God. They went to follow.
Now, here's the thing. Look at this, in this dream, in this vision. The guy stands up and says, "Come to Macedonia and help us." So they knew they were supposed to go preach the gospel. Nowhere in this thing does the man say, "Come to Macedonia and preach the gospel, but we will beat you and put you in prison." There's no warning of that. But off they go, obeying God. They get there, they're preaching, cast the devil out. Next thing you know, they're arrested, they are beaten, they are thrown in jail, the inner jail, and their feet, you know, locked up in the stocks and all this other. And I'm telling you, people today are going to say, "There is no way that was God. God didn't tell you to do it." Well, with the advantage we have is we know the end of the story. We know what happened. They're praising and worshiping God. The power shakes the jail. Everybody gets set free. The prisoner gets born again. His whole household gets born again. And the Philippian church is birthed. And later on, years down the road, it turns out where the Philippian church during a period of time is the only group of Christians financially supporting the ministry of Paul. Well, see, God knew this was going to happen. But did God know they were going to be beaten? Yeah, he knew that. Well, why would God tell them to go there to get beaten? He didn't. He told them to go there and preach the gospel. If he wants you beaten, he can get you beaten anywhere. He told them to go there and preach the gospel. He didn't tell them to go there and get beaten. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I just don't understand that. If you're living by faith, these things aren't supposed to happen. You're not supposed to go through tough times like this if you're living by faith. How many of you heard stuff like this? Are you ready to argue with the Bible? All you folks with this, you know exactly what I'm... Some of you watching this know exactly what I'm talking about. Are you ready to argue with Scripture?
with what I'm showing you here. I don't think that'd be too wise. But let's back up. Let's go way back to the beginning of Paul and him serving God. Acts chapter 9. This is the chapter of the Damascus Road experience, where the bright light shines around him and he loses his vision and so forth. And if you pick this up in chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Faith and confession people could have done a whole lot better with that 16th verse left out. So was Paul surprised when he got to Macedonia and got beaten? No. Now, I'll share this with you. You don't have to agree with it if you don't want to, but I believe it's possible that God showed Paul some of the things that were going to happen to him. I mean, literally showed him. Maybe God showed him in a vision, like during his time period, I don't know. When you get to Macedonia in X number of years, this is what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But he did say, I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, here's the thing. So much of this faith stuff that's been taught over the years really tells you that you won't suffer. Oh, you may face faith challenges. But when you start talking about suffering, it's like, oh, no. Now, if you're walking in faith, it ain't going to be like that. Well, here's a guy who wrote more of the New Testament than any other single individual. And right in here, it's recorded God showed him. I mean, showed him that he was going to encounter suffering for the name of Jesus. Now, that just really kind of makes you sit back and, man, I don't know about this. You know, all these guys I've been watching on TV all these years and all the sermons that I've heard, they don't talk about this. They say, you know, hold your faith, maintain your faith. Keep believing. Don't lose your faith. Keep trusting God. Everything will be okay. You'll make it. Bad things happen. You're not walking in faith. Faith will get you through. Faith gives you the victory. And on it goes. Well, if it's as true as what all these preachers have been saying for years, then why in the world would Jesus himself say, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake? Hasn't Jesus listened to these preachers? Doesn't Jesus know how to live by faith? Let me show you another passage here. Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark 13. Now take a look at what Jesus himself is saying. And really, it goes right along with what he said to Ananias about Saul, who later became Paul. In Mark chapter 13, look here in verse 8. Jesus says, For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines, more famines, and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. I mean, it sounds to me like that's about the end of sorrows. And he says, no, these are the beginnings of sorrows. It's like, Jesus, that's a negative confession. Then he says, but take heed to yourselves. Why, Jesus? Because you're going to protect us from all of this, right? And we won't have to go through it. For they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Here's another good reason to be praying in tongues, to be ready to receive from the Holy Ghost what he wants you to say. Now, verse 12, the brother shall betray the brother to death. You see this? Please let this sink in. He is telling you,
that in the last times, family members are going to betray family members, knowing ahead of time that the family member they betray is going to be executed. You see this? And the father, the son, the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Now listen, this is a hard, hard thing for the faith and confession people to accept. He ain't talking about the lost in this. Listen to me. You're going to have family members whose hearts have been seared black and they have rejected Jesus and there is no hope for them. They are going to be so hardened in their hearts, they will actually turn against their Christian parents and turn them over to be executed. Set them up for arrest and execution.
I don't believe that.
You need to read this verse we just got done reading. It is going to happen. Verse 13, and ye shall be hated of all men. Why? For my name's sake. See that? But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Endure to what end? You know, the end of the book of Revelation. Yeah, that's part of it. He's talking about to the end of your life. And you don't compromise. You don't bow the knee to some other god. You don't turn from the name of Jesus. You talk about some strong teaching here. What he is revealing about, what's coming to pass. And we're headed in the direction of these things being fulfilled. You need to see this. Please let this sink in. Look in John chapter 15. We'll see some more of this. I say, Brother Martin, I don't want to see any more of this. John chapter 15. Now look here what Jesus says. Begin in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended, or caught off guard, or scared. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. Now who do you think would want to kill you for Jesus' sake and think they were doing God a favor? Anybody you can think of in the world today that... See what I'm saying? Anybody that would kill in the name of God, and Jesus says, but it's not really God they're killing in the name of. That is what he is describing right here. And he says, they're going to do it to you for my name's sake. But faith and confession, people are going to tell you these things don't happen. Now I'm talking about the ones on the deep end of the faith and confession. Remember, there's a genuine aspect of it as well. And the deep enders. The deep enders. That sounds like somebody that uses the deep enders. The deep enders. Gotta watch this now. The ones on the deep end. You know, they tell you if you're walking by faith, these things don't happen. They're going to tell you if you're walking by faith and you got your confession right before God, then you confess your way away from these, confess out of these things, that these things won't take place. But the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, says, it doesn't work that way. These things are going to happen. And he doesn't say one word in here about being able to confess your way out. Now, I am not prophesying or saying that Jesus said all Christians are going to die like this, or all Christians are going to be beaten like this. He did not say that. But he is saying you need to be aware of the fact that you're headed in the direction of a period of time where these kind of things will happen to Christians. You know, we hear stories of people being martyred, but he's preparing us for what is to come. It's like he's saying, look, all this bad stuff, the beginning of sorrows. Now, let me tell you, during all the bad stuff, that's the beginning of the sorrows, and beyond that, these are things that are going to happen. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to Timothy, and we're kind of in midstream here, but we'll just start in verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10, 2 Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You say, aha, see there, Brother Martin? Paul says, the Lord delivered him out of all of them. That's right. Please, I want you to get a hold of Paul's perspective of walking by faith. Because he says right here in verse 10, you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. See that? Now look, the faith and confession people, the deep enders, when they preach faith and confession, a lot of what they use are the writings of Paul. Now, from Paul's perspective, living by faith does not mean you don't get beaten, you don't get arrested, you don't have your feet whipped on, you don't get shipwrecked, you don't go hungry, you don't go without. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he wrote to the Philippians and told them, look, I've been through hard times. Paul, the one that we so exalt so many times, this guy is saying, hey, living by faith means you believe in Jesus Christ and you obey Him. You do what He tells you to do. He's already warned you that if you live for Him, you're going to suffer persecution. And that, now, see, a lot of times when you hear the faith people talk about this, the deep enders, and they talk about, you know, being persecuted, they talk about being criticized, being called dirty names, being spit on. But they don't take it to the next level of being beaten, being whipped, being imprisoned, losing your home, seeing your children killed in front of you, being killed yourself. They don't take it to that next level. They want to confess all of that away. You can't. And are, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then looking unto, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When Paul received instructions from God, go here, go there, he went here, he went there, he goes to Macedonia, he gets beaten. Did he leave Macedonia? No. Because he wasn't released to leave Macedonia. God said go, he went, he stayed until he received instructions from the Lord to leave. And if he got beaten while he was there, he got beaten while he was there. He suffered hardship in different places, but he went wherever the Lord told him. Living by faith, according to somebody who wrote all this scripture, it does not mean that you can confess away everything that comes up. Just read the life of Paul. Do you understand what I say now about how what I said at the beginning of the sermon about the most unfaith and confession message some people have ever heard? He said, well, Brother Martin, you just don't believe in faith and confession. Yeah, I do, but I believe in the balance demonstrated in Scripture, not the stuff that's way out there in left field by people who don't understand what Scripture says. You can pull a few verses out here and there anywhere you want and make anything say anything. Now look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now look. When you think about everything I have showed you in Scripture, all of this negative stuff that I've showed you in Scripture, bad things that happen to people, you know, there will be a famine. I'll show you how to get through the famine, but the famine's going to be there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what's He going to do? He shall direct thy paths. Do you understand that the paths He directs you on will sometimes take you to a Red Sea? Will sometimes take you right through the middle of a famine? Will sometimes take you to a Macedonia where they're going to beat you? You understand the illustrations I'm using, the figure of speeches I'm using here. Because all these people in Scripture I've given you, and there are other examples we could use, every one of them followed the direction of God. And they ended up going through all this stuff. See, God doesn't want us to suffer. You need to understand that. He's not doing these things just to see us struggle. But He knows we live in a world. Remember the Bible talks about Satan, the god of this world? The world system, the way the world operates. See, God knows this. And He says, look, if the gospel is going to be published, if the name of Jesus is going to be proclaimed, you need to understand my son has already warned you. And He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. If they hate me, they're going to hate you too. And some of you, your own family members, their heart's going to be so hardened, it won't matter how much you pray, they are never going to receive me as Lord and Savior. They're going to hell for all eternity. And they will become so warped in that sin nature, they will even turn on you. And some are going to die because of it. And the family members that turn on the Christian family members to the point to where the Christian family members die, the ones that turn on them are going to feel a sense of relief. The heart of many will wax cold. They're going to be hardened. Boy, I know this is a tough thing, but consider what you've seen in God's Word. They said, well, Brother Martin, what good is it to live by faith? Remember what I said about Jesus. All right, if anybody lived by faith, it was Jesus. Amen? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. What's the joy? Paul said, I keep pressing toward the mark of that high prize. It may take me through Macedonia. It may take me through Corinth. It may take me through Galatia. It may take me through shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment. It may take me through all kinds of lousy stuff. But I'm going to keep pressing toward the prize. I'm going to keep pressing toward the prize. That's living by faith. If you think living by faith means that you can expect everything to come out exactly the way you think, you're wrong. And the proof of that is in Scripture. Now, I know a bunch of people out there, you probably don't like what I'm saying, but there's a bunch of you listening to this right now. On the inside, it's like your spirit is leaping saying, listen to this. Listen, listen. Because you've been deceived for so many years by all these other preachers that are raking in the offerings by making everybody feel good about a faith life where nothing bad goes wrong. And it's not in the Word of God. Yeah, the blessings are in the Word of God. Healing's in the Word of God. When Paul made that statement, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Well, yeah. But he got beaten in the process. You know why the Lord delivered him? Listen. It's because God knew Paul would be willing to go to the next Macedonia and encounter maybe another beating if God gave him that instruction. And you want to know why it is you're not receiving instructions from God? Maybe God knows you're not ready. You won't even go to a Red Sea and face that. You won't even go through a famine and face any kind of a challenge in the famine. You won't even think about going to a Macedonia if it messes up, you know, your nail polish, let alone getting whipped and thrown in prison. And nowadays, that applies to men or women. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God looked at a guy like Paul, He knew. I can send Paul to Macedonia. They'll beat him. But he won't stop. His body will heal up. And he'll hear from me and go to the next Macedonia. He'll get beaten again. But it's not my will for him to be beaten. But those people are trying to stop the gospel. They just don't know that they're toys in the hand of Satan. And so he'll go to the next one. And this time, they won't beat him on the back. They'll beat his feet. But his body will heal. And he'll listen to me, and I'll send him to the next place. And on the way there, the ship's going to sink. And he'll be adrift, you know, for 3 days out there in the water. But he knows his time hasn't come yet. Read Timothy. 2 Timothy, I've run my race, I finished my course. Then he knew. That's why I kept going. See? I'm telling you, the more you spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He can give to you an understanding of God's calling upon your life the same way that God gave Paul an understanding of his calling. Now listen, I'm not trying to prophesy bad stuff into people's life. You know I'm not. But what I've just showed you in Scripture, that is a whole different perspective on the faith and confession message. And when you take a look at, I mean, just read through there. Just Paul himself. Just read from Acts on, the things that Paul did recorded in the book of Acts, the things that Paul wrote about in his letters. Nowhere, absolutely nowhere, does he say anything about confessing the name of Jesus and never experiencing any of that stuff. Nowhere. You know what he keeps talking about? Live holy, serve God. Live holy, serve God. Live holy, serve God, and don't get goofy on your doctrine. So see, God knew. He knew, I can trust Paul. This guy I can trust. I can trust Peter. I can trust Matthew. I can trust James. I can trust... Okay, what about us? Can he trust us? I mean, if he tells you to go to Galatia, will you go? If he tells you to go to Macedonia, will you go? Now, I know I'm not talking literally those cities. I'm saying, if he tells you to do something, will you go? And what... Remember what he told Ananias about Paul? He says, I must show him the way he's going to suffer for me. If God shows you how you might suffer, will you still go? I don't know how God did it, the way Jesus did it with Paul. Did he do it like this? Paul, have a seat. Here's all the stuff that's going to happen to you. You still want to follow me? I don't know if he did it that way. One thing I do know, that however it was presented to him, he said, yes, I will follow. And he did. And he did. Until we develop the attitude of a Paul to where we know, yeah, there might be a famine, but somehow God's got a plan. I'll go through the famine. I'll experience a famine season, but God will get me through this. Yeah. God may take me to a Red Sea. Sometime along the line, I may face a Philistine army. I may have to go through a Macedonia. I mean, I don't know what it means. But I'll do it. Jesus has already warned me I would be persecuted. And that persecution can come from being laughed at and spit on all the way to death. But remember what Paul said. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul's attitude was, you know what? He tells me to go, I go. Bad stuff might happen. Yeah, I might get beaten. Might have some bones broken. I'll heal. Because I know I'm still running my race. I will heal. The one time they stoned him. Go back and read about it. They stoned him. He was dead. And the other disciples, you know, they gathered. Listen, when you get stoned, we're not talking about like little pebbles and a pea shooter. Pew, pew. You know, the goal is to take rocks and smash your body until you're ripped open, your head split open, and so forth. Paul wasn't done with his race. You know, the stones are crushing him. He's saying, I'm not done with my race yet. They're trying to kill me, but I'm not done. I'm not done. Well, Father, I don't know. You know, I'm about ready to pass out here. Just raise me up, because I'm not done. And, you know, after they quit stoning him, the disciples gathered around his body, and wouldn't you like to have heard that prayer? He rises up, and the Bible talks about he went right back to preaching. Can you imagine those people that just got through stoning him the day before, and there he is preaching? He's like, I don't understand. He was dead. You know what? I don't think we better mess with him anymore. You can't keep him dead. So, yeah. A lot of nasty stuff might happen to you serving God, and it's not because of a lack of faith. God has already told us in His Word, these things can happen. Does that mean you stop your confession? No. I'll guarantee Paul never stopped his confession. Never. Never once. Yeah, I've been through a lot of stuff. The Lord delivered me out of them all. He never stopped his confession. Ever. You don't stop your confession. You just keep confessing. You keep confessing through your famine. You keep confessing the name of Jesus through your Macedonia, through your prisons, through whatever it is, your stonings. Whatever happens in life. And then at that time when Paul said, I've run my race, finished my course, he said, there is henceforth laid up for me a crown. He knew. It's waiting for me. I'll get it. I'm on my way. Jesus, I'll be there real soon. Let me tell you something. Living by faith simply means living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. God knows people are going to die for the name of Jesus. Just because they do doesn't mean they aren't living by faith. Now I'm going to close with this. There are people who would hear this message and take a look at the lousy stuff in their life and they would say, well, you see there, this is persecution. The people I'm talking about are the people that are lazy. The people that would use this as a crutch, who really aren't serving the Lord, who really aren't trusting Him. Oh, they're born again, going to heaven and all that. But they're really not. They just want to sit in a pew and coast through life. People take care of them. People do everything for them. They don't want to be responsible for themselves and so on and so forth. Bad stuff happens. They get behind on their bills or whatever. Well, persecution. The Lord said we'd be persecuted. I'm not talking about those people. Those kind of people, listen, Paul didn't stay in prison for years. He eventually got out. When he got stoned, he got raised from the dead and was healed. His broken bones mended. He didn't go without forever. He did get blessings. Money, food, clothing did come his way. But the people, their lives are lived in persecution. But what about the missionaries overseas? We're not talking about the missionaries overseas, and you know that. Living by faith means, you just follow what God tells you to do, and you do it, and you know ahead of time, bad stuff could happen, but you just keep following Jesus. You keep pressing toward the mark with a high prize. And you know what? There will be a crown laid up for you. Praise God. Then we get the joy and the privilege of casting those crowns down at the feet of Almighty God. Hallelujah. What a winning scenario. Amen.